Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
So honored to have Monica Crowley here. Was once the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under the Trump administration. You know her well from her famous podcast, as well as a political commentator, Fox News. I could go on and on. Monica, thank you for joining me this morning.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. It's so good to be with you. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. So, Monica, you were there last night, and I would love to hear, first of all, your dress was gorgeous. I retweeted, you know, the outfit you wore. I know you were psyched to be there. But it's so fun if we could just live vicariously through you, Monica, as far as being there with, you know, this great event on the inside. What are your takeaways from last night?
Well, you know, it was a fascinating night to be in the room. I was there last year, and I've been there in previous years, John, where it's been an off-election year with no presidential candidates. So it's always really exciting when you have them in the room. And, of course, Kamala Harris did not show up last night, which was a huge mistake. I think it was a huge strategic mistake on her part and the part of her campaign. And in fact, Jim Gaffigan, the comedian who was the entertainment of the evening, he just skewered her. And he actually talked about the self-inflicted murder of the Democrat Party by not showing up at the most important Catholic event of the year, with the cardinals sitting there and so many Catholic participants and a lot of Jewish participants as well. It's a Catholic-based event, but it's Judeo-Christian in its principles and ethics. So she made a huge mistake by not showing up. And I think the last Democrat who didn't show up was Walter Mondale back in the day, Don. And President Trump made a nice crack about that. He said, yeah, we know what happened to him in his presidential race. You know, President Trump was so self-effacing. Mm-hmm. He was funny. He was loose. The beautiful former First Lady Melania Trump was with him. And, you know, to me, the best joke that President Trump delivered was when he said, you know, I was told at this event, and he's, of course, been there a million times, and he talked about how his father used to bring him when he was a child to this event. But he said, you know, I was told I got to do a lot of self-deprecating jokes. And he said, but why should I when I'm getting hit all the time? very, very funny, loose. And look, I think President Trump, from a political standpoint, did himself a world of good because the Catholic vote is extremely important in this country, especially in the critical swing states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona. So I think from a political standpoint, it was a masterstroke on his part. And Kamala, I think she's running behind in this race now anyway, and she did not do herself any favors by not coming.
Yeah, it's interesting, Monica, because there was last week I had reported on that. It was an Arizona researcher at Christian University there saying 32 million Christians, including Catholics and churchgoers, are likely to stay home. Maybe they've lost the faith in our election integrity or something of that nature. I mean, does something like this that brings people together, lets people laugh, even like you said, I mean, he's self-deprecating, making jokes about himself, but they're all laughing together. I mean, there's Chuck Schumer right next to him, and he actually, in a gracious way, says, you know, he's actually a good guy. Does that bring people together and, I don't know, in a weird way, give people hope?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point because this country is so divided and everything is so polarized, John, and politics infects everything. You cannot watch an NFL game. You can't go to a movie. You can't turn on a radio station for music without getting some sort of political message. And I think that's really unhealthy for people, for American citizens, and I also think it's really unhealthy for the country. So an event like this, where you bring together both sides of the aisle and give them an opportunity to kind of roast each other in a good-natured kind of way, is a really important thing for the life of the country, especially during an election year when everything is so heightened. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a release valve for the country. People watching, the people in the room, the candidates themselves, it's like an escape hatch, where you can let off a little steam, laugh, and then get back to business. that kind of unifying moment is really critical. And the fact that Kamala Harris did not show up, again, was a huge mistake, but it's also, I think, going to backfire more broadly because people want to see that kind of moment because it's so rare. You know, she did submit a video with, you know, one of Molly Shannon, one of the former players on Saturday Night Live, playing her old Catholic girl kind of act. And I have to tell you, being in the room, it fell flat. It was just not appropriate in any kind of way. So it was a good thing President Trump followed that and then brought the house down.
That was my next question to you, Monica, because I thought it just, I inferred from what I could see that it was like a cringy kind of a thing. And so I just wondered, to be in the room as you were, how it was actually received in real time. So that's, I think that's fascinating. And this is a room of people who are politicos, right? Who are more astute than the average person of maybe the gravity of the situation that she was not there.
Yeah, I think, and there were some people in the room who are Democrats. You know, this is a bipartisan event. I would say it felt to me like the room was about 70-30 pro-Trump, but there were some Kamala Harris and Democrats in there who, you know, were trying to cheer the video, but it really did fall flat. So again, politically very stupid of her not to come. And look, the reality is that the Democrats have all of Hollywood, right? The Democrats basically run the entertainment industry. There are plenty of comedic writers who could have written her a brilliant speech that would have gotten laughs from across the aisle. I was ready to laugh with her if she showed up, right? But she just couldn't do that. And I will say this, you know, to your point about between 30 and 40 million Christians will not vote in this election, that is also really politically not wise, okay? Because we are facing an existential threat by the forces within, represented by Kamala Harris, but it's bigger than her. It's the system, which is really fundamentally dark and evil, jailing your political opponents. You know, we're on a precipice of real tyranny in this country. And Christians better wake up before it's too late and get out and vote. You're not voting for Pope. You're not voting for Jesus. You're voting for somebody to restore the fundamental Judeo-Christian values of this country, you know, on which it's all based. Individual liberty, free market capitalism, all of these things are under direct assault by these forces within the country. And then you have external threats like China and Iran and Russia that would like to see them destroyed anyway. The only candidate who's going to bring the country back and make it great again is President Trump.
You know, Monica Crowley, in your podcast, you interview, you know, people at the highest levels, obviously, including former President Trump, who, you know, you worked for, as well as, I know, J.D. Vance, and then to Rob Schneider, all these different individuals. But in your career, I mean, just talking to people who are everyday working Americans who just want things to be better. For you, for your perspective, having worked in the previous Trump administration, what do you see that's different from then through now? Because we've been through all of this. We've been through the pandemic. We've been through this administration. And then recently, these horrible storms. What do you see as you zoom out, Monica, and you look at voters of today versus even the so-called surprise? You and I weren't surprised with the 2016 election, but a lot of Americans were. But what do you see as a major difference?
Well, you know, in 2016, President Trump came on the scene out of nowhere, right? Here was a guy, the blue-collar billionaire out of New York City, who had never done any of this before. And nobody had seen or heard a candidate like this ever, because all of our presidential candidates came out of the political system in some way. They had been a governor, they had been a senator, they had been engaged in some way. And so for this man who is so charismatic and was a household name anyway from New York real estate and The Apprentice and all of the other stuff he was doing, to come out and then directly speak to the American people in the most brutally honest terms about the state of our country, Nobody had ever seen or heard that before, John, right?
Yes.
So in his first, when he first came down the escalator, he was already talking about illegal immigration, a porous border, and he was saying they're sending murderers and rapists, and he got clobbered for that literally on day one. That message has stayed consistent with him, and he has been proven right on that and really everything else. So here's the difference. Back in 2016, voters had to take a huge leap of faith with him because, again, he had never done any political stuff before. Now he's seeking the highest office in the land. So they took a jump off the cliff, Thelma and Louise-like, and they said, well, let's hope he's actually going to be who he says he is, and he's going to deliver on his promises. And then over the next 4 years, he actually did. He delivered for the forgotten men and women by delivering a booming economy, an enforced border, law and order, and world peace, peace through strength. He delivered for the American people. And so this time around, the American people know that he is good for his word. He will stand up and deliver on his promises. And what he has said is, everything I did in the first term, even despite all of these insane headwinds coming from the system, Russia hoax, two fake impeachments, being undermined from within, the imperial media attacking him every day, despite all of that, he really delivered a huge success for the American people. And what he is saying now is, you don't have to guess with me. Yeah. You saw it in the first 4 years. I'm going to do the exact same thing in the second term, only on steroids. And I think this time around, people understand that, Don, and their eyes are also open to the evils of the system and the left and the media, and they really understand now what is at stake.
Amen, sister. Monica Crowley, thank you so much for joining me again, and I hope we continue the conversation. Monica, thank you.
Always a pleasure, Don. Thank you.
Pleasure's all mine.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.